There are moments in aviation where the training earns its keep. Where the hours in the sim, the chair flying, the emergency procedure chair flying that pilots do quietly at their kitchen tables before a trip, all of it collapses into a single afternoon and produces an outcome that doesn't make the news the wrong way. This week we got one of those moments. I'm Tower, you're listening to ATIS on Radio Hangar. And today we're talking about a Coast Guard C-37 Alpha, a cabin full of passengers that included the Secretary of Homeland Security, and an emergency landing that went exactly the way it was supposed to go before we get into it. A quick word from the people who help keep this show airborne. Today's aviation news is brought to you by AviationSoul.com. Aviation challenge coins built to mark the milestones, discipline, and pride behind every step in flight, from first solo to airline transport pilot. Every coin tells a story. AviationSoul.com. Now, let's talk about the C-37 Alpha. If that designation doesn't ring a bell, picture a Gulfstream 5. Long-range, twin-engine, large-cabin business jet. The military took that platform, put it through the certification ringer, and designated it the C-37 Alpha for use in government transport missions. The Air Force operates them. The Navy operates them. And the United States Coast Guard operates them. They carry senior officials, cabinet members, flag officers, the kind of passengers where the chain of custody for their safety matters to a lot of people above the flight crew's pay grade. The aircraft in question entered service around 2002. Do the math, and you're looking at an airframe approaching 25 years of operational life, not ancient by any measure. Airframes routinely serve longer than that when they are properly maintained. But age is a factor. Age is always a factor. And the conversation around government fleet replacement is one this industry has been having for a long time. Secretary Mark Wayne Mullen of the Department of Homeland Security was aboard when the situation developed. We don't have every detail of what triggered the emergency. What we do know is that the crew declared an emergency, executed the appropriate procedures, and put that airplane on the ground safely. No fatalities, no serious injuries, and when it was over, Secretary Mullen didn't talk to the press about the aircraft. He talked about the pilots. That's the headline the flying community should read carefully. When a non-aviator gets off an airplane after an emergency landing, there are a few different reactions they can have. Some people are rattled and just want to get away from the airplane and the event as fast as possible. Some people are angry. Some people are looking for someone to blame. Secretary Mullen came out of that aircraft and praised the crew, publicly, by name of their branch of service. That tells you something about how the landing went. A good emergency landing is invisible to the passengers. That's the goal. The crew manages the abnormal checklist, coordinates with ATC, declares the emergency, sequences the approach, and puts the airplane on the ground in a way that feels to the people in the back, like an aggressive but controlled arrival. The passengers know something happened. They don't necessarily know how close to the edge of the envelope the situation was or wasn't. What they feel is whether the crew had it. This crew had it? Here's what you need to know about the C-37 Alpha. Specifically, Gulfstream builds a reliable airframe. The G5 platform has an excellent safety record in both civilian and military service. Like any large cabin business jet, it is a complex machine with multiple redundant systems, hydraulics pressurization, avionics stacks that would make a glass cockpit retrofitter weep with envy. It is also a machine that at 24 or 25 years of operational age has accumulated a significant number of flight hours, pressurization cycles, thermal cycles, and landings. The Coast Guard maintains its aircraft. Nobody who knows the Coast Guard's aviation division would suggest otherwise. These are professionals operating in some of the harshest environments military aviation offers. Open ocean, night operations, search and rescue in conditions that would ground most civilian operators. The culture of airworthiness within Coast Guard aviation is not something you arrive at by accident. But the government fleet aging problem is real, and it affects more than just the C-37 Alpha. The broader United States military and government transport fleet has been dealing with aging aircraft for years. Some of the C-37 variants in service across branches are approaching or exceeding their original design service life estimates, and the budget cycles for replacement or life extension programs move at a pace that operational tempo does not wait for. This is not a partisan observation. It is an engineering reality. Metal fatigues, seals degrade. Avionics that were cutting edge in 2002 are now two generations behind current production. You can maintain an old airframe into continued airworthiness. You cannot maintain away the fundamental reality that it is old. For general aviation pilots, this maps onto something familiar. Think about the fleet you fly. The average age of the general aviation piston fleet in the United States is well over 30 years. Some of the Cessna 172s, the Piper Cherokees, the Beechcraft Bonanzas sitting on ramps across this country were built before many of their current pilots were born. We fly old airplanes, we maintain them. We rely on the annual inspection process, airworthiness directives, and the shop relationships we build over years to keep those airplanes in the air. And sometimes, in spite of all of that, something goes wrong. The question is never whether a system will eventually fail. Everything fails, eventually. The question is whether the crew is prepared for that moment. Whether the procedures are drilled, the checklists are current, and the decision-making is calibrated to the actual situation, rather than the situation the pilots wish they were in. That's what separates an incident that becomes a news story about a tragedy from an incident that becomes a news story about a professionalism. The Coast Guard crew that flew Secretary Mullen demonstrated something that every pilot, regardless of whether you're flying a Gulfstream or a Grumman, should take seriously. Emergency procedures are not something you review when something goes wrong. Emergency procedures are something you have already reviewed, re-reviewed, chair-flown, discussed in the brief, and mentally rehearsed so that when the situation develops, your brain has a path to walk. Crew Resource Management, or CRM, gets talked about a lot in the airline and military world. It gets talked about less in general aviation. That's a problem, because the fundamental principles apply even if you're a single-pilot operation flying VFR cross-countries in a 40-year-old Cessna. CRM, at its core, is about communication, delegation, and decision-making under pressure. In a two-crew cockpit like the C-37 Alpha, it means the captain and first officer have clearly defined roles during an abnormal event. One pilot flies the airplane, one pilot works the checklist. They communicate, they confirm, they do not chase the problem and forget to fly. They do not forget the problem and just fly. Both things happen simultaneously because the roles are clear and the training is current. In a single pilot cockpit, that discipline falls entirely on you. You have to be both pilots at once. That means your emergency procedures need to be even more internalized because there is nobody to catch your drift if you start chasing the problem at the expense of aircraft control. The accident reports are full of examples where the emergency wasn't unsurvivable. Where the airplane had enough altitude and energy to give the pilot options. Where the system failure itself wasn't fatal. What made it fatal was the loss of aircraft control during the response. Pilots who fixated on troubleshooting and forgot to aviate. Pilots who were so focused on reaching a runway that they let the airspeed decay to the wrong side of the power curve. Pilots who declared an emergency late or not at all and arrived at a runway with a fire truck they hadn't asked for. The Coast Guard crew did none of those things, or if they did any of them in the first few seconds, they caught it, corrected it, and brought the airplane home. Secretary Mullen used the words skill and professionalism when he talked about the crew. Coming from a passenger, those words mean something. He wasn't in the cockpit. He couldn't see the procedures being executed or the checklist being run. What he experienced was the outcome of good airmanship as it felt from seat one in the cabin, controlled, deliberate, confident, the kind of landing that makes you feel like you were never not going to be okay, even if the technical reality was more complicated than that. There is something worth acknowledging here about what it means to fly government missions. Coast Guard aviators operate in obscurity most of the time. The search and rescue cases that make the news are a small fraction of the missions flown. The transport flights, the logistic sorties, the training events, the patrols, those happen quietly, repeatedly, with the kind of regularity that breeds complacency in organizations that are not disciplined about fighting it. The Coast Guard's aviation arm has built a culture that fights complacency. The emergency landing this week is evidence of that culture holding under pressure. That culture doesn't appear on its own. It is built in training commands, reinforced in standardization programs, tested in check rides, and lived out in the habits that senior crews model for junior crews on every flight. When you see a crew handle an emergency well, you're seeing the compounded result of everyone in that organization who took the training seriously. Now, a word on the aircraft age question, because I want to be careful here. 25 years is not by itself a disqualifying number. The Boeing 737 Classic variants flying freight operations are older. The C-130 Hercules has been in military service for over 60 years in various forms. Airframe life is a function of maintenance, cycles, and design margin, not calendar years alone. An aircraft that has been well maintained and inspected to its approved maintenance program can be airworthy at 25 or 30 or 40 years. What the age of the C-37 Alpha fleet does raise is a procurement and fleet management conversation that goes beyond any single incident. The government's transport aviation assets need sustained investment in either maintenance, life extension, or replacement. That conversation has been happening in budget offices and acquisition commands for years. It will continue regardless of how this particular event is categorized once the investigation closes. What the investigation will likely focus on is the nature of the emergency itself, the crew response timeline, the ATC coordination, and whether any maintenance history is relevant to what occurred. That's the process. It works when it's allowed to work. The National Transportation Safety Board, or NTSB, and the Coast Guard's own Aviation Safety Office will follow wherever the data leads. For the rest of us, the takeaway from this week is straightforward. Praise the crew, they earned it. And then go home and review your emergency procedures, not because something is about to go wrong, because something always eventually does. And the difference between a story that ends with a phone call home and one that ends differently is almost always written in the months and years of preparation that happened before the emergency begins. My sources for today's program include Flying Magazine and publicly available Department of Homeland Security statements. More at radiohanger.com. Stay heads up out there. Tower out.